Here's Mike McIntosh to begin this edition of Chapter and Verse with this comment.
You see, we can be religious even as born-again Christian believers and miss the awesome, mighty power of God Almighty, the Creator. That's one of the wonderful things about Job. Though it's about trial and tribulation, he stretches our thinking patterns. But this guy saw God in a way that was just so awesome that it should strike fear in your heart.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Someone once observed that for man to fully understand God would be like pouring an ocean into a water glass. It's very likely that a man named Job would agree with that illustration. At least he would probably have that opinion after he endured great suffering and a severe trial of his faith. The book of Job may be one of the oldest documents known to man, but it has much to teach us today about walking in faith when life seems unfair. We'll learn important principles from the book of Job on Chapter and Verse today. So now let's join our teacher, Mike McIntosh, for part one of a message about stretching the imagination and turn to the book of Job, chapter 9.
Would you please turn in your Bible to the book of Job, chapter 9? And we're going to look at the response of Job to the accusations of Bildad the Shuhite and even some truths that Bildad had to say. But Job is going to stretch our minds a little bit, reminding you that we're about 5,000 years or over since Job actually wrote this, and I've mentioned it every time just so you can grasp that this is the oldest known document on planet Earth. And the oldest document that's written, the oldest document tells us that man has struggles and that he recognized that there is a Creator, and he knew his Creator. That's what's unique. And so whatever we go through, we can make it because that Creator is still there, and he still is interested in people's daily affairs. And that's a wonderful thing, to know that he cares for us and loves us and sent Jesus to shed his blood for us. I'd like to pray for you that God would bless you in a special way. Father, I thank you for all these great people that have come to study your word, and I know how much you love them, and I just know how much you care for them, and I know how much you want them to know you through your word. And Father, we recognize that you hold your word above your name, the Bible says. It's very important. And so through the word of God, you give us the light of God, and with that, we can find reality and truth. And so as we look at Job again, Father, I pray that you will inspire us. You'll stretch our thinking cells. You'll just make our brains come alive with new ideas and thoughts. And I pray for all these people, Lord, that you'll just honor them because they're honoring your word. And you promised in Samuel that you would honor those who honor you. So may you honor these people and prosper them. May you give them great joy. And may you open up many new doors of ministry for each one of them in Jesus' name. Amen. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, if man will contend with God, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He's being very honest that God has so much, and man's greatest wisdom couldn't answer one question correctly when God began to quiz a man. One of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him and has prospered. Now, that's a good question to ask some of your friends. Who has hardened their heart against God and has ever prospered? But that's a good thing for you to circle in your Bible right there. Who has hardened himself against God and has ever prospered? You can't. You get angry against God. You know, this man was very proud to say, I'm an atheist and I have my rights. And then other people say, well, I'm an agnostic and I have my rights. What are you going to do for that guy? The agnostic believes in God, but he's not exactly sure what it is he believes in. So he has his rights. He's not sure if it should be there or shouldn't be there. But if you have a friend that's an atheist or a friend that's anti-God, show him that verse or quote it to him. Who has ever prospered that has hardened themselves against God? And for your friends that say, I'm an agnostic, here's a good one for them. Just say, do you know where the word agnostic comes from? No. Then impress them. Say, you know, it's a Latin word. Oh, I didn't know that. Yes, you know what it means? No. Ignoramus. Now I'd like you to say, I'm an ignoramus. No. It doesn't prosper. Nothing prospers. It's opposite of God. And so you want to show that verse. That's a great one for sharing with your friends that you love. Which removes the mountains, and they know not, which overturns them in his anger, which shakes the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. Now think of this for a moment. 5,000 years old, and this man is talking about earthquakes that shake the very foundation of the earth. And you will see in a few weeks how that Leviathan, this great sea creature that sounds very much like a sea serpent or a dragon, becomes meat for the jackals in the desert, which means some sort of a tsunami picked up things from the coastal area and threw them all the way to the desert. He's talking to us about some sort of a shakeup on planet Earth of horrendous power, the very pillars and foundations of the earth being shaken. So how would he even have that in his vocabulary unless he had experienced it? So there are a lot of things that we've been lied to about in science, in our school classes. There's a tremendous alteration of history. Satan has tried to stop people from knowing about God, having walked on this planet in the Garden of Eden with his first creation, and walked on the planet through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you read Job, I'm reminding you again, the oldest known written document on the planet. And when you read him and say, this is the oldest, well, he's talking about things that I understand today. So that was happening back then? Yes, it was. Now watch what happens here, that he stretches our mind a little bit more. Which commands the sun, and it rises not, and seals up the stars. Now, he said he commands the sun and it doesn't rise. Now, do you remember in the Old Testament that Joshua told the sun to stand still, and the sun stood still so that the battle could go on for the Lord? So there must have been something with the rotation of the earth that this man understood that the sun could stand still in his time. Now, the second thing that's very interesting for those of you that are scientists, you may want to jump into this one. He says this, he seals up the stars. What does he mean he seals them up? When you think of sealing something up, it's like a Ziploc baggie, or you know, you seal it up, or you put it in a special vault or a cage or something to seal it up. But he's telling us that this man has scientific knowledge. He understands the stars are out there, but they're sealed up in their own area of the universe. Which alone spreads out the heavens and treads upon the waves of the sea. Now God alone spread out the heavens. He stretched them out. Now we know in later prophets, like Isaiah for instance, the span of his hand is the universe. When I was in school, in elementary school, we were told that the universe was about 4 billion light years across. Then we got to high school and it became 6 billion light years. And then after school, in my 20s, it was 8 and then 10 and then 12. And now it's 15 billion plus light years. So either man has had it wrong all this time or God's hand keeps getting bigger. And I think that God's hand's always probably been the same and he's not doing some sleight of hand trick. So this guy says, God alone. He didn't have any help. God has done all of this. You see, we can be religious even as born again Christian believers and miss the awesome, mighty power of God Almighty, the Creator. That's one of the wonderful things about Job. Though it's about trial and tribulation, he stretches our thinking patterns. That this guy saw God in a way that was just so awesome that it should strike fear in your heart. And I don't know if you've ever had fear in your heart because of your thinking. I remember just even as a boy trying to think, okay, there's a God. How did God get here? Okay, he got here. I accept that. But where did he come from? Did he think himself up? What's he doing when he's not being God? Okay, is he just concerned with me? Is he concerned with everybody every time? How can he think about everybody right now? How can he think about all the things that are coming in the future that haven't come, but he already sees them coming? You know, and you just start extrapolating out in your mind all the wild questions you have, and all of a sudden, God's going to interject himself in your thought pattern, and you're going to go, whoa, excuse me, please, back off, I don't want any more. And when you get that fear of God in your heart, the Bible says that's the beginning of understanding. That's the beginning of knowledge. So anything we're learning in our classrooms without the fear of God in it, there is no real knowledge or understanding. You have to fear God. And then with that fear, it opens up something that's in the human mind that allows it to understand. And there is so much that we can understand that we don't have a clue about in so many different areas. But with the fear of God, God can now give you revelation in so many things, and you'll be surprised to find out that life isn't exactly what you always thought it was. Then he says this, which alone spreads out the heavens and treads upon the waves of the sea, which makes Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. Don't you find that fascinating that here he is naming these constellations that you know by name and that are out tonight just where they were thousands of years ago? This man didn't just make up these names. There had to be some scientific school of thought that was able to categorize and write down and name and then train the next human beings. That's pretty brilliant if you just stopped and thought about that. Now here's a little homework for you because I'm in the professor mode all this week. Why don't you go get an encyclopedia? Or even better yet, there's so much on the web. You can go to NASA, you can go to MIT, you can go to so many, go to the Hubble telescope and just start right there. And take these three and learn what you can about these three constellations and see if there's something going on in the connection with these three constellations. Because this man was very aware of them. And he has taken us to outer space right now. He's taken us to the inner space with the pillars of the earth, the foundations of the earth, taken us to the stars. He's shown us that there is intellectualism when we have been taught they were cavemen. No, there's intellectual people that understood. So you've been lied to. And this is why the Bible's not allowed in the schools. Get to know this Bible because Jesus is coming back soon and he can give you tremendous revelation of your purpose here on planet Earth. Which does great things past finding out, yes, and wonders without number. Isn't that wonderful? God does great things past our finding out. We have our own little lives and we find out everything about the people around us and our little cushion of life, and there's things beyond that. This is one of the great dangers of the church, is the church is getting their own little denominations, and they don't even want to fellowship with somebody of another denomination. But yet we're family forever. No, God has things past finding out. So imagine if you would seek the Lord with all of your heart, and you find him, that he starts revealing to you things that nobody else has ever heard, only because you were interested. Past finding out, and then that other thing, the wonders, how wondrous it is, and wonders without number, otherwise infinity. God has wonders to infinity. And you wonder what you're going to be doing throughout eternity? Well, just trying to discover what that verse means would be a good one, wouldn't it? And then say, okay, now I sort of understand. Could you assign me an angel that'll take me and show me all these wonders? And I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And our thinking patterns are so small. And our lives are, you know, so futile at times and so frustrated and stressed out. Now, God has tremendous things to help us grow. Look at verse 11. I love this one. Lo, he goes by me, and I see him not. He passes on also, but I perceive him not. Now, that's good thinking. He's admitting that he's out of touch with God sometimes. Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. This guy's a good thinker. I am aware that God is doing things that I'm not a part of. I'm aware that sometimes God gets so close to me that I don't even know he's standing there or he's walked by. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Go back in your Bible to the left. And 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is the young man Samuel that's going to be the judge of Israel. He's working in the temple for the priest named Eli. He doesn't know the Lord yet. Now look at this, verse 1. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare, or in King James, precious. I like that. The word of the Lord is precious in those days. There was no open vision. So, what do we know? If the word of the Lord is rare in your life and it's not there, you're not going to have any open vision. And Proverbs says that without vision, failure. So it was precious in those days. When it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli, and he said, "Here am I, for you called me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and he laid down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you did call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down." Now look at this, verse 7. Would you read it out loud with me? Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So you need to know the Lord, and you need to know the Lord through his word, but you need to seek him and ask him to reveal it. He's hearing God call him, and many of you tonight hear God calling you, but you don't know the word, so you don't know how to respond. And God has so many things for you to accomplish before the day you die, but because you don't know him through the word, you don't know how to respond to him. And here's this kid that's responding to the religious leader, to Eli. But Eli's tired and he's worn out and he doesn't have the energy to spark the kid on. "I'm not calling you, go to sleep." But look what happens here. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and he said, "Here am I, for you did call me." And would you read this out loud with me? And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. He's a child. And there are people all around us that God is calling, and they need spiritual men and women to point them in the right direction. That's all this guy is going to do. Because it says, "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say," would you read it out loud? "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. That's all you have to do. Speak, God. You're out there. I know you're out there, but just speak. I'm ready to listen. And here's the scary one. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Three times he calls him, and Samuel gets out of bed and runs right past him because it says he stood as at other times. Now, I don't know about you, but if in the middle of the night I woke up and God was standing at the foot of my bed, I think I'd have the biggest afro in all of San Diego County. Yikes! I mean, just freak you out, wouldn't it? But that would bring the fear of the Lord to you. And when the boy had somebody that could instruct him to just say, "Speak," it wasn't a big catechism class. It was just, "God's calling you. Just say, speak, Lord, I want to hear from you." You and I are the only ones that keep God from speaking to us. Can't blame anybody else. It's our disciplines or our lack of disciplines. If we're going to let television consume our time or video games or whatever, that's our choice. But God would like to speak. And so when God spoke to him, here's what's amazing. The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle." Wow, how exciting. I remember we were on our ski trip a couple of years ago, and a couple of the granddaughters were sitting there, and I was giving them on their beds, and I was giving them their night time. I think Molly must have been 5, and Katie was probably 7. And so I said, and the Lord came, and he stood by the bed and said, "Samuel, Samuel." And for the next 2 years, every time I'd see them, they'd go, "Samuel, Samuel." "Speak, Lord. Don't you want to hear him? Speak. Why am I here on this planet? Why? What have you created me to be? How can I fulfill what you have for me, Lord? I don't have the ability to be a spiritual man. But if you want to make me a spiritual man, speak." And it can't be without the word of God. Don't you find it interesting that Job says, in very honest and forthright, he says to us that if he were to walk past me, I don't even know it. I wouldn't even be aware of it. And this is exactly what happened with Samuel. And God is still doing that, coming to people and speaking to them and calling them. If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him and choose out of my words to reason? Out of my vocabulary so small, how can I reason with God? You can't reason with God. His ways are not our ways, the Bible says. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice? You ever feel like that sometimes? I call out to God, I pray, and he never answers me. I never hear him. But he's saying the same thing. If I had called and he had answered me, yet I would not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. Now turn to Habakkuk for just a moment, just showing you how this old book is so relevant. Look at Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. The prophet Habakkuk, right after Ezekiel, Micah, and Amos. Look at verse 1, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out unto you of violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me? And there are those that raise up strife and contention, therefore the law is slack. Same thing. But this was a sin of presumption on Habakkuk's part, I believe. O Lord, why do I cry out and you don't hear? You're presuming that he doesn't hear. He hears, and he does answer. But he's going to answer according to his plan, not your plan and my plan. I catch myself many times, say, oh Lord, if you could da-da-da-da. Well, why didn't I ask him a month ago? Why did I get right down to the finish line and then ask him, you know? So here's this man showing us again, just by going to Samuel and Habakkuk, that Corinthians 10:13, 2 Corinthians 10:13 is applicable then as it was today. There is no temptation or testing taken you, but that is common to all men. And God is faithful and just not to allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but with the temptation will give you the means of escape. So the New Testament church has the same power as the Old Testament people that have the same power of this man in a relationship with God. Isn't it great? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not up and down and you can trust God and then you can't trust God and God likes people and then he's mad at people and God doesn't listen to prayers and God does listen to prayers. No. This oldest manuscript is weaving truth for us to draw us closer to God and make us think in new ways. How much less shall I answer him and choose? If I had called and he answered me, yet I wouldn't have believed it. For he breaks me with his tempests and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but fills me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me to be perverse. So no matter how good we try to make ourselves look, when it stands in front of God, the truth will come out. And is this not anything more than the book of Revelation? That the dead will be raised and the books will be open and everyone will be judged according to the things written in the books? And he's admitting that. God knows everything about me. So where did this man get this knowledge so many thousands of years ago? The same knowledge that you and I hold in our hands. And he did not have a Bible. He didn't have written scripture. He didn't have it. It's the revelation of God in this man's life. And God wants to give you, ladies and gentlemen, a revelation of himself that will take you beyond an afro. He wants you to see him, not in a religious sense. He wants you to see him for who he is, the great I am. I am that I am. That's who he told Moses to go to the Jews and to tell them is the one who sent him. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. How do I measure the strength? If of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse.
We'll pick up right here in our studies of Job on Monday. There are many practical lessons ahead in the balance of the material we'll be covering at that time on Chapter and Verse with Mike McIntosh. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMcIntosh.com. That's MikeMcIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Job, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMcIntosh.com. If you'd like to keep up to date with the international outreach of Horizon Christian Fellowship, look under the Ministries link, then go to Missions on the website at hcf.org. This is where you'll find information about Horizon missions and churches around the world. If you'd like to keep in touch with a missionary family in the field, this is the site where you'll find contact information and news about developments around the world. Every Christian should be interested in the progress being made in spreading the gospel, and the Horizon website is one of the places where you can be part of the missions effort taking place in our day. Again, look under the ministry section and click on the missions link on the web at hcf.org. Well, we appreciate you being with us today and hope that you'll tune in again next time. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.